Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Sundress. The end of 2009 represents an end of a decade of comic book fandom, the group that really did come in at the very end of the 90s to rediscover comic books, in several cases, turn a lot of fans into members of the new media that cover comic books. Not only myself and fellow podcasters, but a lot of bloggers and writers for comic websites. Case in point, Benita Rogers, who's here to initially talk about the Twilight fandom and the fangirl phenomenon in general, but also becomes the secret origin story of Benita, and we find out about her beginnings of what brought her into comics in the early 2000s and soon led to her career at NewsArama. Now, New Moon is coming out next weekend, and it will be part of the fandom coverage that you'll see in the next 7 days and beyond. This conversation was recorded right after the San Diego Comic-Con, where Twilight's presence was known and felt, and the reaction was very negative from comic fans. That's where this conversation begins. I want to start with what I've been talking about lately. You're a big Twilight fan. And
I am. I'm a Twi-nerd.
Is that what they call them now, Twi-nerds? This is awesome.
Oh, there's all kinds of names. There's Twi-hards, which I have Twi-hards. There's Twi-nerds. Yeah.
Okay.
Twi-fans. Yep.
Now, I'm not a hater, but I go ahead.
There's Twi-guys. I should point out there's Twi-guys. That's what we call the Twilight guys.
Okay, and is there a significant number of Twi-guys out there?
I don't know about significant, but there are Twi-guys. They get a lot of attention from Twilight fans, so.
Well, they're probably smart. I mean, they're where the women are, obviously. So, actually, these guys are, way to go.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, now I want to know, because, like I said, I'm not a Twilight hater, and I wasn't there this year. So I want to hear from your point of view as a Twilight fan, how palpable was the negative reaction to Twilight fans on the floor? Just any thoughts or things you experienced going to San Diego this year from a Twilight standpoint?
Well, I'll tell you the day of the panel, and I spent the night outside with the Twilight fans the night before, and the day of the panel was just a huge high. Obviously, we all got to see the stars of Twilight and the upcoming New Moon, but we also got to sit through the Disney panel, which I think it was the best panel I went to, where Tim Burton and Johnny Depp showed up, and we got to see the footage from Tron, which was just a huge. I think it was probably my favorite thing I saw.
Very cool.
Through the whole con, so I was on this huge high, and then that evening I got together with some friends, comic book friends.
Okay.
And it was just really a complete kicker, just make fun of her and make fun of everything to do with Twilight. So it was really weird. I mean, I walked out of there and just thought, wow, I just came down really hard from that high. I mean, it hurt, But no, on the floor and everything, I think there was definitely whenever I would talk to people, it was almost like I felt like, should I be embarrassed to tell them I was one of those people sleeping out there, because they really made fun of what they called Twilight City, all the tents out there the night before the panel. And it has a very negative connotation among most comic book fans for some reason.
That's ridiculous. And I tell everyone the Kevin Smith quote. I think you probably heard it, didn't you?
Yeah, the one where he says, I love how, the guy in the Spock costume looks over at the guy in the Chewbacca costume and says, what a loser. Isn't that what he says? Something like
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, exactly. No, we're all in the same glass house. No, definitely. So,
yeah,
don't worry.
There's so much commonality there. I mean, I actually talked to one of the women who was out there with me among the Twilight City was... She's an anthropology professor at the University of Pennsylvania at Penn.
Wow.
And I actually talked to her a lot about the fan culture, and because that's one of the things that she studies in her anthropology classes that she teaches. And she was really interested in how female fandom works as opposed to male fandom, and there's a whole lot more similarities than there are differences. There are some differences. There's a more emotional reaction, obviously, to certain things. So more about the emotions, and with guys, it's a little bit more about the knowledge and the details and getting into that geeky part of it. But it's both men and women seem to have this basic need for the mythology and the stories and the culture and the community of fan culture. And, you know, we're all in the same boat. And, you know, the vast majority of the women that I talk to, and I was surprised by this, but a lot of them are Buffy fans. We had a Dr. Horrible sing-along.
Okay.
We talked about who do you think the villain's going to be in the next Batman movie. And then the next day I was with my comic book friends, and we talked about the same stuff.
Sure.
You know, so it's the same. It's the same bunch of geeks, and I don't understand why. And I felt no negativity from Twilight fans toward comic book fans in any way.
Well, know? That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So it's a weird thing. I guess I understand it, and I think it's, you know, like Kevin Smith said, I think it's that our fandom is better than your fandom, and there's also an ownership of Comic-Con.
Yeah, that I can see.
It is a comic book. Yeah, this is our show, and how dare you come into our show, and, you know, so many of you, and try to take it over kind of thing. So I think that is an ownership thing, which is understandable, too, because I know I feel it sometimes when I, you know, look around at all the video game stuff and the movie stuff, and I think, hey, remember us? Comic books.
Yeah, the only thing that I took from it to be negative, and it isn't just Twilight, it really is this encroachment of big media, television and movies, is it just is a few more exclusive things that aren't open to everyone. I mean, I remember in 07, one thing that I thought was really exceptional and cool was, and I'm sure you remember this, when the Grindhouse guys had the two-tier autograph thing right in the middle of the main floor. And Tarantino literally had, and Rodriguez, had both casts there. And it was just this really cool thing that was just in the middle of the main floor that everyone, you know, nobody knew what Grindhouse was, but certainly there were enough actors there with cachet that it was a pretty impressive looking thing. And, you know, people could kind of walk up to it. Whereas it just seems like, and I heard this from San Diego, that you know, the squatters. I mean, you like you said too. You know, having to go to Twilight, you had to be in the Disney panel before you could get to the Twilight panel. And I just feel bad for just the logistic impossibility of, you know, trying to go to one of these big, you know, panels and stuff, as opposed to when it was just a comic show. When, I don't know, it seems like it really wasn't as big of a challenge.
Oh, the crowds are ridiculous. I stood in line twice, one being the whole Twilight thing, which obviously having to get there, you know, the night before in order to go to the panel.
How many hours?
Crowd involved that.
How many hours in line?
I got there, what time did I get there? About 7 o'clock the night before, and the panel was at 2:15 the next day, I think,
wow.
Or 2 o'clock the next day. So yeah, there were people there. The ones at the very front of the line got there Tuesday night for the Thursday panel.
Oh my God,
now, that's a little ridiculous. But that said, people who arrived on Thursday at say 10 o'clock still got in the panel.
Okay.
The Hall H holds, I want to say like 6,000 people.
That's what I heard.
Ridiculous,
yeah.
Ridiculous amount.
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, enough of a fan of something, you want to be up front. So we were up toward the front. But just about anybody who wanted to get into that Disney panel could have gotten in. It's just they wouldn't have been in the front half of the hall. And it's a huge hall, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I feel better about that. That's good.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that said, you know, I think they probably, a lot of people probably did walk up and go, oh, well, there's no way we're going to get in, just because there's this huge mass of people out there. So I'm not, you know, saying that there weren't people discouraged or people who said, well, we're not even going to be able to see the stage, which, you know, like I said, it's such a huge hall and it's just chairs after chairs on one level. So they didn't get prime seating. Let's put it that way.
No, I understand.
They
should
go. Yeah.
I heard Bill Willingham on DC's podcast of their panels at the Fables panel, kind of having to not deal with, because I think he did it in a good way, but there were a bunch of Venture Brothers fans that were waiting for that panel while the Fables panel was going on. And I thought that was really interesting. And the way he kind of, you know, again, I think he had the right idea about it. He was kind to them, but also was like, hey, I'm really sorry, you're going to have to listen to this
you know, Fable stuff before you can hear your Venture Brothers fan stuff. And then the cool thing was, I guess, one of the people stood up to ask a question and said, you know, there are Venture Brother fans that are also Fable fans. So that was kind of nice.
Right, right. Well, yeah, and I think a lot of people were upset thinking that all the Twilight fans, they got to see the Disney stuff as if none of us are Tron fans as well, as if none of us know who Johnny Depp is, which is ridiculous. I mean, obviously, you know, he probably has a bigger fan base, actually, among females and Twi guys.
Are there still, now this was something that occurred to me when we were setting this up, were there still people running around like dressed like Pirates of the Caribbean at the show this year?
Oh, no. I think I saw one Johnny Depp guy, but no, I didn't see a lot of them.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, and Twilight, I mean, and really I am, I'm totally blind on this. I know there are the books. What did they say in the panel? I mean, the hope is obviously to maintain this as a film franchise. Are there also plans to dovetail into television, or is it just going to stay films right now?
No, it's films, and the third one's being filmed right now.
Okay.
They didn't do them right in a row, but they might as well have. I think there was a month in between them. But New Moon is the second film.
Okay.
Eclipse is the third film. And Breaking Dawn is the fourth film. And the producers have already, and Summit Entertainment does the movies, they have already confirmed that they will do the fourth movie. Which
okay.
I got to assume is going to be split into two movies. But who knows how they'll do it. It's a really big, complicated book.
And is it every 2 years then for the films?
No, the Eclipse is scheduled for next summer. New Moon comes out in November. Eclipse comes out.
Wow.
Eclipse comes out in June next year.
Okay. Wow.
And Breaking Dawn again. Breaking Dawn. The filming nor the date has been set that I know of. But they have said, you know, they've got to.
Okay.
We've got to milk this thing for all.
No, well, absolutely. Are there plans for a fifth novel already, or?
No, I honestly think that the saga is finished.
Okay.
Or, yeah, kind of like the Harry Potter movies. It's done. It's seven. You know, obviously there's always a possibility. I mean, there's plenty of other characters that Stephanie Meyer could write about because the universe is pretty vast, and there are a lot of characters that interest Twilight fans, but I don't think that's, you know, that's, there's certainly been no indication that she has any plans to do that.
Okay.
She actually, the last novel she wrote was something about, I haven't read it yet, but it's something about aliens or something, and the host, I own it, but I haven't read it yet, but I think that's, she wants to write other types of novels, so I think the Twilight saga, that's it, it's four books.
Okay. And tell me, what do you watch True Blood?
I just started, and I really like it. And I just interviewed Mike McMillan, who is going to be writing a comic book for Archaea that comes out next summer called Lucid. And he's one of the characters. He plays Steve on True Blood. So
oh,
that was
wow.
Pretty exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but, I just started. One of the reasons I didn't have HBO.
Okay.
And I still don't have HBO. I know, I'm terrible because I used to have it. Well, I used to watch Sopranos religiously, but
okay.
Then, you know, when you have kids, it's hard to control HBO viewing. So we just kind of backed away from that. But I'm doing the DVDs.
Okay, so you're on the first season then of True Blood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like it, and I want to read the books because a lot of Twilight fans actually read the Sookie Stackhouse.
Yeah.
Series, I think is what they call it. Yeah.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, everybody's reading Sookie's books.
And were you a Buffy fan?
I'm somewhat of a Buffy fan. I wasn't at the time, I'll be honest. I'm not a big vampire person. You know, I didn't do the Anne Rice thing. A lot of Twilight fans. A lot of Twilight nerds. We're also Anne Rice nerds and Buffy nerds. A lot of them are Joss Whedon fans. I've gotten into Buffy. I love Buffy stuff.
That's cool. Now, you see, I came to Buffy late as well. It was the last season of Angel that my friend is like, hey, you got to watch Angel. It's great. And they're going into a different direction, so jump on now. And plus the reruns were on TNT, so I kind of backtracked, and yeah, you know, that's how I kind of fell into Buffy. But I think I was, like you, I'm not a big vampire person, so that was enough for me. And that's why, you know...
I mean, since then I've, I actually, well, see, I read books. I kind of have a book club going with a couple of guys via email. And one of them, he and I are both huge Twilight fans. He's a Twi guy.
Okay.
So he, after Twilight, he was actually so into Twilight that he wanted to read more vampire books. So we've read, I can't tell you how many, probably 7 or 8 other series and novels. And I'm honestly kind of tired of Twilight books. I mean, not Twilight books, vampire books.
Okay.
But yeah, I do want to read the True Blood books.
That's cool. Well, and yeah, I'm just kind of wrapping my head around it. So what other genres does your book club go into?
Oh, well, we did just read, I should take that back. We just read The Strand, the Guillermo del Toro book. It's a vampire book.
Okay.
But no, one guy's a comic book store owner, and another's just a comic book fan, and we read all kinds of stuff. Just thrillers and... We read a zombie book just recently. I've read a couple of zombie books with them. So, yeah, we probably are a little more of the nerdy book readers.
We call it genre fiction. You know that. That's how we feel better about ourselves now, genre fiction.
Yeah, but no, we read novels. We're all comic book readers, but we like to read, some other stuff every once in a while.
That's cool. Now,
Not too often.
Well, and
only comics.
Now your daughters are into Twilight as well, correct?
My oldest is.
Okay.
14-year-old. My 10-year-old, this isn't her thing so far.
Okay.
I mean, she's kind of trying to read New Moon. She read Twilight, but, it's romance, and she's not quite at that point yet.
Okay. Did she like Harry Potter and that stuff?
My oldest does. She's huge Harry Potter fan. I love Harry Potter too. That's another thing I'm kind of a nerd about. I have action figures and yeah. See, you're discovering all kinds of wild things. You think I'm just all about comic books? I'm all kinds of nerd.
No. Well, yeah. Come on.
I'm a Disney nerd too. You want to?
That's cool. Oh no, that's great.
Talk about a fan culture.
Well, tell me about your Disney nerdness. In what way?
I'm just saying that, there's a whole, if you go looking for, when I first discovered message boards, when I very first discovered message boards and the online communities, which, that's I think is also a big reason that women are part of fan culture now is that they are finally on the internet. There's actually more women on the internet than there are men. I don't think most male users, frequent internet users realize that what they once ruled in the 90s, it was a men's area. I don't think they realize that how many women are on the internet now. There's actually more women on the internet because they've discovered it through social networking. That's why Facebook and MySpace and stuff like that, it has drawn them to the internet, but also it has drawn them to communicating about things they're enjoying, like Twilight. And I think that's a big reason why Twilight has become quote-unquote phenomenon, why it's the phenomenon, is that women can share with each other their fandom through the internet. And so that's part of it, The other part of it is that Twilight it's very easy fiction to read. There's
okay.
a reason that when Stephanie Meyer wrote the first novel and sent it to a publisher, there's a reason that they said that this would be a great youth fiction novel, because it's a really easy read, and so there are people reading it who don't read books, but they can read this. It's very easy to read. A lot, honestly, for me, it reminds me of comic books, and I know comic book fans immediately have this knee-jerk reaction, like, comic books aren't easy to read, but the fact is they are.
Of course,
My 14-year-old can read comic books.
Sure.
She's being required to read Fahrenheit 451 right now and is really struggling. It's not easy to read Fahrenheit 451.
Interesting.
Great book, not easy to read. She's bored by it. She doesn't like it. She tosses it aside every once in a while. She'll finish it, and I'm sure she'll like it, but she read Blackest Night, #1, and loved it. Had never read a Green Lantern comic in her life, and yet you know, enjoyed it, and she can read Twilight. She can read Harry Potter, and Twilight, yet Twilight deals with a more adult emotion. You know, it's very much a romance, and you know, they get married, and there's adult level stuff that goes on. So
healthy sexuality. Here, we'll keep it clinical. Don't worry. Healthy. I'm talking to a mother, so I got to be careful. But yes, healthy sexuality.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I guess not when you're dealing with the undead. I suppose that's true. All right, good point.
No, but it's an easy read.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I'm amazed at the women that I meet who can read it. But, yeah, I think it's a combination of it being it's a book that anybody can sit down and read.
Okay.
There's obviously something about the books. There's the characters. There's something about the way that you get emotionally involved with the characters, you know, so I'm not going to say it's just because it's easy to read. It's also, it's a great story. You know, it's a love story as well as a story about heroes versus villains and people with superpowers and the kind of thing that just draws you in. And then the internet, I think that because of that, that the female fan culture is just latched onto this in a big way.
What's the talkback like on a message board for Twilight compared to what we see on comic book message boards? Is it the same language? I mean, you know, what is the difference?
There are a lot of similarities. Like, there's a lot of negativity about the first movie, which I think even the most diehard Twilight fan will admit was not a great movie.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I really did think it was universally loved. So no, this is very interesting. Go ahead.
No, I think you know that. But one thing about the Twilight novels. But this, I'm amazed that you're this. And I hope you cut this down because there's way too much detail here. But one thing about the Twilight novels is that while it's very descriptive of emotions and dialogue and human interaction, it's not particularly descriptive of what people are wearing, what the setting is like. It's not, you know, it doesn't go into a lot of detail. So I think people were starving for the visual representation of what they read in these novels. And so that's why you saw people going to the theater and just being absolutely thrilled that, oh my God, finally I can buy an action figure. You know, I can...
Really?
I know what Edward wears. I know what his clothes look like. I know, you know, what Bella's house looks like now. You know, I have a visualization for all these things that you heard about. You finally had what they look like. So I think that was a big deal. And I'm somewhat borrowing from this anthropologist that I talked to in Twilight City. Because we talked a lot about that, and she said, you know, she thinks that's a lot of the attraction to the movies, and I agree, is that we finally had that. But it's also just, you know, it's the characters you love, and
sure.
So.
Well, that sounds very similar.
I don't think it's that, but yeah, the message board feedback is there are similarities. There's a lot of frustration that scene X and scene Y were left out of the movie, you know.
Okay.
Why didn't they put that in? I mean, that's very similar.
Yeah, that's typical.
They changed such and such. I can't believe they did that. I hate this movie because of it. When the first trailer came out for New Moon, it implied that Bella was running from someone and Jacob came to her rescue. Well, that's not the way it happened in the book. A lot of outrage over that.
Okay.
Which is really similar to comic fans. They're very possessive of the original.
Sure.
The original story, and they don't like changes to it. But I think in general, there's a little more of a positive spin toward things. I don't know that positive is the right word. There's a more hope for something good.
From the movies.
From the movies, from whatever. There's a real love for Stephanie Meyer. There's a real love for all the actors and directors and everybody involved. Forgiveness for any time they do anything. And I don't see that quite as much with comic books.
Well, I understand where you're coming from, and you can point at somebody like George Lucas or Joss Whedon and some misfires that maybe those two have had. The only thing I would say is, though, that the bloom is still fresh on Twilight. And so,
that's completely true. And like I said afterwards, and that's why I say I don't know that it's positive. I think it's more
hopeful.
It's more hopeful. Like,
sure.
Well, give them a chance. It hasn't come out yet, you know. And I think most people feel that way. They're like, oh, you know, this is going to be great. We're so glad you're making this movie for us. And where on comic book websites, I tend to think that they expect the worst from experience, mind
sure.
you. Like you said, the bloom is new, and I think comic book fans have been hosed quite a bit by Hollywood, myself included.
There's absolutely.
There's some things that you just shake your head and say, "What were they thinking?" But yeah, I think there is a general, a little more hope, a little more, the outlook is brighter
okay.
toward the future kind of thing. But no, in general, it's the same kind of, you know, possessive nature of the source material and anger when it's not followed and detailed arguments about why did so-and-so say such-and-such, and I think it's because of this, and no, I think it's because of that. I don't know how many message boards I've been on where there is a thread about, ladies, be nice when you argue Team Edward versus Team Jacob. I mean, I guess they get really heated. So, yeah, there's not that much of a difference.
That's good.
Same kind of passion.
Well, that's comforting. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Well, because
why is that comforting? That's kind of scary.
Well, I understand that too. And that's just kind of a base reaction, and I'm glad that's shared. And also that people recognize how silly it is, and we try to pull back. But when we were talking last week about doing this conversation, I thought it was interesting because you said that you remember, I think it was for the Batman tease for The Dark Knight, that you felt like comic book fans, and maybe Guy fans in particular, were really excited when they were watching the footage, and then immediately after, you know, walking out of the auditorium, had to kind of keep their cool cred around them and, you know, kind of point out the flaws, whereas you thought the Twilight fans maybe were more hopeful seeing the footage from New Moon. And
definitely.
We're still kind of like, you know, floating on air or whatever, enjoying what they, you know.
Well, and I think there is a, I don't know. I think women are, how do I say this nicely, where neither side is quite injured.
Oh, please.
But I think guys are much more concerned having a little cynicism about
mm-hmm.
things, like they want to be like, that's cool. It's cool to have some cynicism about things. Whereas I think women, it's actually the opposite. Like, that's not particularly cool. It's actually more cool to be emotional and a little giddy. And so I don't mean to come across like girls are. That sounds very girly. But doesn't that sound girly? Like, oh, it's so, we're gonna squeal over, you know.
But you guys did.
World.
Now come on.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend there weren't any screams coming from my mouth every once in a while.
Okay.
But honestly, my biggest scream was Johnny Depp came on stage. My gosh, it was a huge surprise. It was awesome.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, it was terrific. But, where was I? Oh, but I do think that there's just, culturally, I think there's a little more acceptance among dudes if you're cynical. That's funny, and it's cool to be a little cynical. No, am I right?
You are. I'm laughing because I see it, and I do agree. I understand what you're saying.
With women, it's, you know, oh my God, you know, how could, she's so cynical, and it's not cool. It's like the opposite. It's
sure.
actually more cool to be, I don't know. But I'm not saying on both sides that both things don't exist. There's certainly plenty of people on comic book message boards that are constantly positive and, you know, very, just as giddy as my girlfriends.
Well,
yeah, but it's interesting, you talked about Joss Whedon and we were talking about Twilight earlier. I mm-hmm. loved it when he said that Angel could kick Edward's ass, because he's so right.
Oh, I agree. No, I was, and again, also that whole idea of, it seems to me that Twilight and also all the whole Buffyverse too, it was kind of this like plain clothes superhero wish fulfillment, And I think when, especially coming off of the bad Joel Schumacher Batman movies, I think Buffy and that stuff came at a good time to kind of say, look, you can, you know, have your sci-fi kind of superpower wish fulfillment without, you know, looking ridiculous in spandex, basically.
Yeah. I think that's true. And I think most vampire fiction, I say, having read far too many vampire novels lately, it's very much going toward the bats. You know, that's just silliness. You know, that like if a vampire nowadays turns into a bat, I think most people wouldn't believe it. I would. You know, I'm into shapeshifters. I think that's fairly cool. But
sure.
Whatever. But yeah, it's very much more based in, scientific or possibilities. They could actually be walking around. They could be in our high schools, falling in love with our daughters.
All right. Well, now I should put a little time in and talk about some of the stuff happening in comic books right now, should you choose to answer. But no, I'm curious. I obviously, you said you had your daughter reading Blackest Night, and that's cool. I'm enjoying the story so far. What do you think of the events that are out there right now? Let's start with Blackest Night.
Blackest Night is a lot of fun. I've been having a 14-year-old read it. I'm horrible because I hover when she reads, which I shouldn't. But she understands, and luckily she'll take advantage of it and make me feel good by turning around and asking me, you know, some question about some character, and then I'm like, yes, I get to talk. But it really is a really fun event, and how she got interested in it was me sitting at the dinner table. I did a series of interviews with a psychologist about emotions and how real emotions, how the different colored lanterns, how they match up to actual emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I know, kind of kooky, crazy, silly articles, but I thought it was interesting myself, so I thought other people might be interested. I actually have gotten a lot of compliments on those, so see, I'm not the only nerd out there.
Absolutely.
But I was sitting at the dinner table talking about it, how much I enjoyed interviewing this psychologist, and started talking about how the red lanterns are the lanterns of hate and the blue lanterns are the lanterns of hope. And my whole family became really interested. My husband is actually reading Blackest Night as well, and he's not a comics reader.
That's great.
Right. I mean, he came home the other night. He said, "Do you have Darkest Night number 2? And I did not. It did not correct him. So see, I'm a good spouse. I was nice. Yeah, I do. I got them all interested in it. Just my excitement of it. And I think that's a key to a lot of the Green Lantern success. It's made people excited about Green Lantern. There's actually something to talk about besides, oh, did you see, you know, Hal made a big boxing club with his ring? Which, not to say I don't like that, but, you know, sitting at the dinner table, if I mentioned that to my family, they'd say, yeah, Mom, that's what you told us about 2 months ago, too. So it's new stuff. It's like, this is just a really cool concept, and I think it's working on everybody. And yeah, like we haven't seen those colored lanterns hardly at all in the main title, though. It's something completely new that we get to talk about. Oh my God, did you see the zombie version of Aquaman? You know, that kind of thing. It's really fun.
That's what I'm curious about. Is now there are obvious heroes that are big enough that I'm sure people in the family know who Aquaman is. But what about the backstory? Because I think makes Blackest Night great is those nods to continuity, and it really is these conversations and the manipulation of the Black Lanterns to these heroes and their hurtful words and actions.
It's interesting. I brought that up to Jeff Johns when I interviewed him about this. I said, well, isn't there a problem in that the Black Lanterns, when you see one of them, you say, if you know who they are, don't you have to kind of know their backstory a little bit to get the emotional impact of it? And his answer, and rightfully so, was, well, you don't have to know every single one. You know, sometimes you might not know it, but the ones that you really need to know, we give you the backstory of it. And I think that's pretty much true. It's certainly been true with my husband. He's really good at just going, well, I don't know who that is, but I don't care, and turning the page. Now, my daughter's a little more inquisitive, but I think if I wasn't there for her, the internet would be, or, you know, friends who might know about comic books would be. Certainly when I started reading, it's the whole reason I write for Newsarama today, is I went on the internet and I did a search for a message board where I could ask questions, because there were things I wanted to ask someone about. And so, yeah, Black as Night, there are things in there. She did turn around and say to me, who's Crispus Allen? You know.
Okay.
And I explained in very, very basic terms. Luckily, we have an original artwork by Leonard Kirk up on our family room wall with a big old specter. And I said, you know, it's the guy who's on the family room wall.
Oh, that's cool.
He's like, oh, yeah. But, yeah, there's, you know, I think, I don't think it's an absolute necessity. I'm a fairly recent, certainly among most comic book readers. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of new comic book readers out there, but among a lot of Newsarama readers, I should say, I'm fairly a newbie because I've only been reading for about 6 years.
There you
and
go.
I don't know a lot about Hawk and Dove. So when I came to those pages, I went, I don't really understand that, but that's okay. I called up, you know, my buddy who I read books with, who owns a comic book shop. I said, who's Hawk and Dove? Got the whole lowdown. Completely appreciate it. Loved it. Love it.
Very
now
cool.
I'm really into Hawk and Dove. I want to go back and read some more stories. Did the same thing when, you know, the Legion was revived by Mark Waid.
Yes.
And all this attention on the Legion by Jeff Johns. I've gone back and read almost the entire Levitz run. You know, I'm really getting into that kind of stuff. So my hope is that my daughter will, something like that will grab her, and she'll want to read stuff like that. And that's what this kind of stuff is about. You know, people say that, oh, well, it's not newbie friendly because they don't know who, you know, if they read Black's Night, how the heck are they supposed to know who these people are? Well, no, they don't know every single person. They know most of them. Like you said, they know who Aquaman is. There was, my daughter doesn't know the stuff about Hawkman and Hawk Girl, yet she got teary-eyed when they died. So,
oh, wow.
Obviously, there was enough information provided within that comic for her to understand what was going on and why it was so sad that they had died, and right when they, you know, I hate to spoil the story, but spoilers, right when they were able to say they loved each other is right when they died. She understood that concept and how sad it was.
Sure.
You know, so.
Very cool. Yeah. All right, now I am going to ask you, because I always forget how many years. I thought you started reading around 2000, so it has only been 6 years.
2003.
Okay.
It was this month.
Wow.
August 9th, 2003, and it's pretty sad that I know the date, but I know the date.
And I'm not going to embarrass you, but tell me the first book that sucked you in.
Daredevil Yellow by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
Big fan of that. That's very cool. Now, I'm
a big fan of that, yep.
All right, excellent. Now, where, first of all, two things. One, was it Newsarama? Was it the Newsarama message board that you went to ask questions? Where did you go?
I did. Luckily, the reason I picked up Daredevil Yellow in the first place is I had a vendor, as you know, I think we've talked about it, but my day job, quote unquote day job, is, I mean, I was working tonight when we were about to talk, I was doing invoicing, but I sell highway construction materials, and my reinforcing steel supplier is in Indiana, and the dispatcher, this is a very long way to get here, sorry,
no
but
problem.
The dispatcher, we would email each other every once in a while, and his email address was daredevilblind@whatever, And I asked him one day, I'm like, so how are you a daredevil? Do you ride motorcycles or something? You know?
Sure. Well, yeah.
Honestly, I was that close. And he said, no, it's the superhero. You know, the movie came out. And long story short, he talked me into renting the movie just because we would talk about video games, and I was really into video games at the time.
Okay.
And so I watched the movie. I really liked it. And he said, if you like that, you ought to give Daredevil Yellow a try. And the last comic books I had seen, I'd seen The Crow.
Okay.
So I knew that there were black and white comics out there, you know, kind of those indie, gritty-looking comics.
Yeah.
And I thought there were those, and then all the superhero comics probably still look like the ones that I had as a kid in the 70s. And I just figured that's still what they look like. So, yeah, I when I got home, I opened up Daredevil Yellow, which was collected by that time, by 2003. And I just, I was just amazed at the artwork and the depth of storytelling. And, it sucked me in. And I ended up, while I was there, I went ahead. My daughter was really into the MTV Spider-Man series.
Okay.
Which I know not a lot of people were, but for some reason my kid actually liked it. And so I bought her some issues of Ultimate Spider-Man while I was there buying Daredevil Yellow. And so when I finished Daredevil Yellow, I read the Ultimate Spider-Man comics, and I liked those too. And then I went back, and I think Teen Titans number one had just come out, and Superman Batman number one had just come out. I was picking up every number one I could see.
Hilarious.
And, where I went, luckily I had this friend who was a vendor at my reinforcing steel supplier that I could talk to about some things.
Okay.
He told me, he said, there's something coming up soon called 1602. There's a thing called Supreme Power you want to pick up. All these number ones that he was telling me about. But, yeah, I went on Newsarama in December that year and asked some questions. And they became... people make fun of Newsarama posters. I do, too, sometimes, I admit.
So do I.
They frustrate me sometimes.
Absolutely.
I do. Come along and completely ignore what you wrote and just start talking about something completely different. But
the
truth is that Newsarama posters are, I owe them in a big way for guiding me on comic books. And credit it a lot to them.
Very cool.
Becoming a fan. Like, I think I hit upon with the whole Twilight thing. I think having other people to talk to about what you're into takes you from that level of, yes, I read comic books, to, oh, my gosh, I'm an excited fan. I'm totally into it. I read the news every day. I'm constantly searching for news about comic books. I talk to other people about comic books. It takes you to a whole other level of fandom. And I owe Newsarama for that, too.
Very cool. Now, and what led to you writing about comics? Isn't this such, I've gone totally backwards. This should have all been at the beginning. But that's fine. That's what happens during a conversation as opposed to a straightforward interview. But go ahead.
I was on the message board enough at some point someone... asked about people's background, and I posted on there that I had gotten a journalism degree and that I worked as a journalist for years in mainly newspaper journalism. And at some point, the owner of the site at the time, Matt Brady, wrote to me and asked me if I'd be interested in doing an interview, which I did.
Very cool.
I was very interested. It was fun. I think he said something about, how would you like to scratch your journalism itch.
Well, and I remember the first time I saw you in the field was at one of the Wizard Chicago shows, and you were talking to Azzarello and Brian Wood, who are very tough to approach and certainly were back then, and can certainly be surly to fanboys. And I was just very impressed with them. I'm like, wow, look at that. I'm like, man, they are just like chatting away. I'm like, that's very cool. And then I realized, I'm like, oh, that's Vanita Rogers. That's why they're talking to her. Very cool. And that's, it was funny, honestly. I totally remember that. So that's,
I'm floored. I don't think I've ever gotten Brian Azzarello to talk away, but that's good.
That's what it looked like. He was smiling, which is,
I've gotten him to talk some, because with Brian, you just have to know that even though his entire body language and everything he says is saying, screaming to you, leave me the hell alone. Like, it's just him. That's just the way he is.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll probably say, no, really, I do want you to leave me the hell alone. And you laugh and ask him another question because, he knows what my job is.
Sure.
He's Brian Azzarello, and that's the way he is. He's great, though. Oh, my gosh. And love his stuff.
I'm with you. I'm going to see him Friday. And I saw him at the Chicago Comic Con. I should tell you, you didn't miss much, obviously. As from a news standpoint, but it was a fun time, I have to admit. I have to.
I will never forget. I celebrated my 40th birthday at a comic book convention at the Chicago convention, and it was just fabulous. I will always have good memories of the Chicago convention. It was one of the first. It was the first big convention I went to.
Very cool.
And it was, and I, my first year going there, I wore a costume. That's how much of a nerd I am.
What'd you go as?
This was before I wrote for Newsarama. I was Scarlet Witch. You didn't know this?
No, I didn't. No, I've just seen you.
I
you know,
left it that way.
All right, there. Are people going to find your picture now on the internet?
Oh, I don't know. That's okay if they do. I don't mind. But I don't care.
That's cool.
I am not ashamed of my nerddom.
Hey, pal. But, like I tell everyone, I think once we hit 40, it's like, hey, this is what we like. And who cares?
That's what I like. I don't care. You know what is great, too? I complained one day on Twitter because I don't remember who gave me crap for being a Twilight fan. But I said something about, you know, I don't get it that 90% of the crap I get for being a Twilight fan comes from comic book fans. You know? It's like I said something on there on Twitter one day about, I don't know, I was just real surprised by some Twilight news I'd just heard. And, the first reply I got was from a comic book artist who said, "Why are you a 14-year-old girl, you know, or something like that?" And I wanted to, I didn't do it, but I wanted to write back and say, dude, you draw comic books for a living, and you're calling someone else a 14-year-old, you know, I mean...
You're right.
Yeah, but then, you know, I know that all of a sudden it sounds like I'm insulting comic books, which I'm not. I feel the same way about comic books, you know, than I do about Twilight. I'm even more so, obviously.
Of course.
Huge part of my life. But yeah, it's strange. But I don't even remember what the question was now.
Well, no,
I rambled off.
No, and that was fine. No, and we were talking about Chicago Comic Con, and I know, too, that the fact that your birthday... happened again during Comic-Con, and I was very happy that someone reminded me of that. We could text you and wish you well on your birthday, even though you weren't there.
Yeah, no, I wasn't there, which is sad because I bet Don Kramer was there, wasn't he?
He was indeed. Absolutely. He's the one who told me.
Birthday. Yeah.
He's like, hey, it's Vanita's birthday because it's my birthday. I'm like, that's right.
Yeah. I remember I walked up to him in Chicago. He was behind his table. His kids were there with him, which is always neat. He always brings his kids because he lives in that area. And I walked up and I said something about it's my birthday, and he went, me too. And I thought he was just, you know, joshing. Because there's people that like to, like, fool with you, you know.
Sure.
And he literally had to get out his driver's license before I'd believe him. He still tells that story. She wouldn't believe me. I had to get out my driver's license. I really didn't, because they said something like, well, it's my birthday. And he goes, me too. And I went, yeah, right. You know, sure.
No, it's, and I don't know why, but I have 8 good acquaintances, and some of my very best friends all were born on August 6th. I don't understand why, but I know a lot more people that were born on August 6th than I think any other day of the year.
There was something going on with the sun on that day. It's when nerds are born.
I think so. You're all around the same ages, too. It's very interesting. Very interesting.
That's good. Yeah, they're great people.
I'm telling you. Well,
do I sound like I have an ego or what?
No, that's all right.
Cut that part out, too.
All right, there you go. Well, yeah, that this might not make it, but that's all right. What am I missing?
I'm going to cut it all out.
No. Are we going to see this story of yours regarding the female fandom?
Well, yeah. Like I talked about, I lucked out and that I talked to an anthropologist in San Diego about fan culture, and in particular female fan culture. But because it was on my mind when I was there, I have a lot of different people talking about how many more female fans there are that go, not only go to San Diego Comic-Con, but that are more comfortable with being fans. So yeah, my plan is to have a series next week exploring the phenomenon. I love that word now because everybody calls Twilight a phenomenon. But no, dude, it's a book and a movie.
Well, the fans are making the phenomenon. That's okay.
That's all right.
You know, they had supporting actors of Twilight at the Chicago Comic Con, and I don't know. It was interesting. I didn't know what kind of reaction they'd get, but apparently, no, that was a big hit. I mean, even the supporting actors, I think they had, And I, forgive me, I don't know who's who, so I can't tell you if it was...
Yeah, I don't remember who was there, and I think it's New Moon actors, which that... The movie hasn't even come out, so the fact that you said there was a good response, I mean, that again, points toward a hopeful fan base.
Sure.
And the movie, you know, hasn't even come out yet, so...
I didn't give Marvel props. What do you think of the Marvel events right now?
Dark Reign, I think, is all. I don't know about you, but I'm falling in love with Norman Osborn. I love that character. And I know on the weekly webbing, I keep asking, so what's going on with Norman? I think they're getting sick of me because I don't think he's playing a role in Amazing Spider-Man until the list. I really like what they've done with Dark Reign because I think there was a point in time and where Marvel was less. It seemed like their books were a whole lot less connected than DC's. Like during Infinite Crisis, it seemed like Infinite Crisis was crossing over into all the DC books, and Marvel not so much. Like something that would happen in one book wouldn't be reflected in another book. But now, with Dark Reign and everything that's been happening since Secret Invasion, wow, the Marvel books really, really line up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I like. I like it when you're sitting and reading one book and something that happens in another book that you read is referred to. I don't know why, but even if it's just a little line, you go, hey, yeah, I read that one. I know what you're talking about.
I hear you. Well, and you don't allow a lot of the one fan complaint to that is obviously it's like, how can I afford every book? You know.
Well, but it's just one line.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
You don't know what they're referring to. Big deal. It's not like important to the story, but it's just one line. But yeah, I think I think that's one of the things that I didn't like as much about Civil War was I felt like you really had to be reading Amazing Spider-Man leading up to that to know what was going on during it, and you had to be reading a lot of other books to really understand everything that was going on in that.
I agree.
And but I think it was still a good story, and certainly the conflict was the concept behind it was really great, but I think you really had to read a lot of stuff that they didn't tell you had to read. Secret Invasion, I think they've made it pretty clear that the Avengers books were a necessity, really.
Yes.
And I don't think they were a necessity for the very basic story, but it was so much richer if you were reading Brian's other Avengers.
I agree.
You know, much, much more enjoyable story, but yeah, Dark Reign, I don't think with Dark Reign you really have to read. I think there's just little references, but it's all kind of the same. What is it they always say in my interviews? I got to use the right language for the public relations.
The status quo?
No, the backdrop.
Ah, the backdrop.
They're all performing in front of the same backdrop, but they're all doing their own stories. But
yes.
I think it really has succeeded that way, and I don't know that has been done a lot lately anyway. Quite so successful. I really do think that I don't feel like I have to read every single thing to understand what's going on in Dark Reign.
No, I agree. And I also think that both companies have kind of learned from their recent events in a better way and, are trying to improve with each new status quo to kind of take what worked before and also eliminate, like you say, I mean, the feeling that, yeah, Civil War, you really did need to read a few books to really kind of appreciate what was going on. And I think in the case of Dark Reign, yeah, it's general enough of a backdrop that each story can stand on its own and be its way of how they're dealing with the new status quo.
Yeah, and the backdrop isn't that complicated either. You know, that Norman Osborn has become the power, and it kind of touches everybody. And I mean, it's pretty simple, that backdrop. It's just how it interacts with the characters that becomes the more sophisticated, you know, story. But the backdrop itself is pretty simple. And I don't think you have to read a lot of other things to understand that.
Very cool. You got two forgiving kids and a forgiving husband. And I know that the comic book fans appreciate that you are able to cover the events that you do and then write the articles that you do. And everyone enjoys what you do at Newsarama. And I want to thank you for spending time with me tonight. This was great.
Yeah, it was really fun. It's very fun to talk to you always.
That's Vanita Rogers and her articles at Newsarama.com called Fangirl Invasion. I've got the links up at WordBalloon.com, so come to the website, click over there, check out Vanita's stuff. Really interesting point of view on the fangirl and, of course, the Twilight phenomenon in particular, which revs up again this week with the release of New Moon. That'll do it for this edition of Word Balloon. Thanks for listening. John Suntra is reminding you that Word Balloon is all over the internet. Keep looking to WordBalloon.com for more new updates. Go to iTunes, subscribe to our feed, and also if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can leave a note at the Word Balloon message board, or you can reach me as well via email, john@WordBalloon.com. We've got some interesting things happening at Word Balloon. New developments are underway. And once they are up and running, that's when I'll start making the public announcements. But look to the skies. Big things happening for Word Balloon in the days ahead. Keep tuned to this station. Until next time, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2009.